Blog Talk Radio.
You miss us? Well, we're back. Blue Shirt Band Radio tonight, May 2nd. And Eddie, good evening. How are you?
I am doing fantastic, fabulous, not too bad, as they say. So I'm ready to rock and I'm ready to roll. And let's talk about the playoffs. Let's talk about what's going on as we go forward, and doing well. How about yourself?
Doing good. Feels like it's been, a little over a week? Yeah, it's been, when were we last on? After the playoffs ended. That was last Saturday, so it's been 9 days, I guess.
Yeah, I was getting the shakes, actually. I was getting the DTs.
Well, you called me.
Not being on the air.
You called me late last week, and we kind of launched into a show right there on the phone. We did a half hour.
Yeah,
not available.
I mean, it's,
not available for podcasts. Sorry.
Yes, that's on the bonus DVD footage of the show.
The director's cut.
The director's cut.
Unrated.
Well, I have to say, right now, off the bat, I love the fact that we have a great turnout tonight. I mean, what are we, 2 weeks removed from the Rangers being eliminated from the playoffs, and the regulars are here, the unregulars are here, the irregulars are here, everybody's out. That's why our Ranger fans are still, we're still unified, even though maybe we were emulsified. But I think people come here because just because of the love and the comedy that comes with being a Ranger fan. As well as being dedicated and want to talk about the team. So, I'm down with that.
They just want to be around people.
People.
Well, good evening, everyone. We're glad you're here to chat. Like Eddie just said, chat room's already filling up. And we will try and we'll cover it all over the next 2 hours. And then don't forget, I don't think we've officially decided. We may come back Thursday night and do like an hour and a half. Since next week's show, we got the big, we got Mr. Monty Hall coming on next Tuesday night. And since that'll probably take up most of the show. So we may come back Thursday night and just do an hour and a half. And if we run out of material, we'll start making stuff up.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically it. Plus, everybody is, we got certain crosses to bear, as far as teams we're rooting against. I mean, I'm sure we're all riveted to the Capital Tampa game. We're relegated to that. But still, that does bring us satisfaction, when Tampa wins. And so we're rooting for that. And plus, we're all hockey fans. I think that's often a misconception that Ranger fans are just into the Rangers. They don't know anything. And once the season's over, there are two brighter and better pastures. But it shows that everybody, you see it on Facebook all the time. You see it on the chat room, and we're on top of hockey. We aspire to be the all-knowing, all-seeing Ranger fan, knowing about everything. So that's good to see too, as well.
Yeah. The Lightning, have you adopted those as the team you're pulling for the rest of the way?
Well, it was funny because I don't think we did a show, or it just didn't come out of my mouth, so to speak. Was the fact that I thought a lot of the experts were really just so. I mean, I've used other words, but they were so enamored with how Washington played in that first round. And that they had finally – now, listen, that series is not over by any stretch. But with that being said, I feel like Larry David. The thing is that
– I could have cued
music
for you.
We know our Rangers better than anybody. And we know that the fact the Rangers just didn't put any kind of offensive pressure on B.B. Neuvirth. And just could not get pucks, high-quality chances towards him. And I think he coasted. I think their defense coasted for it. We were shooting a lot into their defense, but it was, you know, well-documented. And the Rangers are a very good defensive team, but offensively challenged. And Tampa Bay is showing you that they can put shots on net. And I know they won game two in overtime, but still, they're up 2-0 after two games. So that's who I'm pulling for, Tampa, and they were a team that I thought would do well against Washington. As a matter of fact, I thought anybody would do well against Washington if they could put up a decent offense. So I'm glad to see that. And, you know, I'm rooting for San Jose, which I said, remember I told you in the last show, Jim, you said, well, why are you rooting for San Jose? You were like, because they have this choke stigma, and I really, and you know what it is? I root for the underdog. I really felt they were an underdog. And I like Niemi. I mean, the guy just wins playoff games. That's all he does. So those are the two teams I'm rooting for right now. And, you know, both are up 2-0, which is good. But, again, it's far from over, as we've seen in these playoffs. In most series, that you know, they go 6-7 games.
Okay. I'm kind of rooting for Tampa. And, you know, of course, part of it is they helped the Rangers get in the playoffs. But, you know, I also appreciated the fact that not just that it benefited the Rangers, but they had absolutely nothing to play for and still played like that game meant everything to them against Carolina at the end of the season. And I appreciate that. And they're the only, and really they're the only team left in the Eastern Conference that I don't hate Boston, but they're really the only team left that I don't just loathe. So, except for Boston.
Well,
I don't really hate Boston. I don't know. I just don't.
Boston's kind of like, nah.
Yeah.
I don't know. They don't have any players that I really dislike, you know. And what's the game? What's it, 2-1 now in the Boston game? 2-2, actually.
Yeah, I think Boston just tied it up, it looks like.
Yeah. So, you know, inherently as a Ranger fan, you must hate the Flyers and wish ill will against them. That's just the way it is. It's a New York-Philly thing anyway.
Right,
and Boston, you know, that ain't no, you know, that's a tough choice. But Philadelphia, just remember getting beaten up by those guys in the 70s, like the regularity. I think I'm still scarred by that, Jim. So I think we all know how we feel about that. So anyway, what else is going on?
All right, well, I guess we could start the first announcement that came after after the Rangers were eliminated from the playoffs, and the word got out that they have extended John Tortorella's contract for 3 seasons. So terms not disclosed because the Rangers don't comment on coach, on staff. The Rangers pretty much don't comment on anything. So that was, you know, that was the first move. I think it's the right thing to do. I think he's the right coach for this team right now. And look, you know, I'm pretty sure next year was the last year of his contract, and you know that's kind of the formula for sports is that you don't let a coach the last year of his contract. So you know the Rangers did the right thing. I think they gave him a 3-year extension, and you know I can't argue. I know some will try, and you know some of them do make valid points. And look, we've said it 100 times. I don't agree with everything he does, but I'm a fan. That's my job. You know, my job is to second guess what the coach does. I've done it to every coach of every team I root for, no matter what. But I still think I think he he learned from some mistakes he made last season, and that I think that carried over a little bit into this year. I think the players like playing for him. Maybe they don't like him, but you don't have to like a guy to play for him. I almost prefer guys dislike their coach a little more. I think they work a little. I think it keeps them on edge a little more. But I think it's the right move, and we'll see what happens. Now, next year, you know, if next year is another playoff failure in the first round, or if they don't, you know, they, God forbid, they miss the playoffs again, well, then it's a different story. But for right now, I think he's the right coach for the team. What do you think, Eddie?
Well, you know, I think with the whole continuity that you want to keep with the young guys, it's certainly a good move. I've had a while to think about it now that we're kind of out of the, you know, we're out of the trenches of the season and out of the playoffs. And I think Rick Carpinello of, was it Journal News? He writes for Lohud.
Lohud.
He made a good point. And let's just, you know, and we can argue about this or discuss this, that Tortorella got rehired for what Rennie got fired for. And that was for the lack of goal scoring. Now, although I think, you know, Rennie did have his, you know, had a much longer time with the Rangers and had Jager and Straka and Nylander, which I don't think the Rangers even have a Straka on this team.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
Tom Rennie had a first line, an entire line of first line hockey players. John Tortorella,
right.
He's 3 years on the job, he still doesn't have that. Or two and a half, 2 and 2 months, whatever you want to call it.
Right. So I think
Well, go ahead. Finish your thought. No, you go ahead first.
No, I was going to say, and another thing that and another thing that's kind of been bothering me has been a little bit of how I wish that I would have had the Tortorella that came in here and was more safe as death. Now I find out that, you know, now we find out it's just defense, and there are no allowances for you to freestyle out there if you don't, you know, back check and you know, and don't be defensive. If you're not defensively responsible, you're not going to play. And, you know, I don't know, and I think that hinders some guys. You know, and, you know, they're not guys that I really am enamored with. Gabrick, I think, for instance, Gabrick said postseason this season that the style that the Rangers played was different last year than it was this year. And I think what he meant by that was that it was more defensive. You know, they were playing lockdown on defense, forwards and defense, and waiting for, you know, things to open up. You know, take advantage of other teams' mistakes. And I just was trying to figure out, you know, it did work. I mean, listen, the Rangers, what, they have 93 points in the regular season, something like that. That's pretty good. They had a lot of shootout wins, too. But, you know, they were able to play close to the vest in the regular season. But in the playoffs, where you're playing a number one seed, especially the Capitals, I mean, you know, with their firepower, how many mistakes are they going to make, you know, if you're going to play that? So I hope that Tortorella has a kind of an adaptability to more offense and more of that, you know, safe-as-death mentality going forward once we do have some guys in place, you know. So that's my thoughts on Tortorella. And I think it was a good signing, but you got to keep the continuity going in that regard, because it's the only thing that seems to have a little bit of success. I mean, you know, Glenn Sabat to me is a buffoon, you know, and the things that he's done, he's made some good moves to correct bad moves, which is great, but don't make the bad moves in the first place.
Right.
And we all know about the owner. I mean, he's a de facto owner. I mean, he's another lunkhead.
What's worse than a buffoon?
Yeah,
that's what the owner. I don't know what's the next step.
I don't know. Well, yeah, somebody can come up with a better word than buffoon. You know, like Monty Hall, give him a prize or something. But But
Monty Hall next week on the show.
You know, and Tortorella seems to have mellowed, and you know, he seems to be getting it. So,
well, and, you know, and maybe call me naive, but how much of the system that they're playing now, you know, the defensive style, and everybody's got to be defensively responsible, and you talk about the safe as death, but how much of that is just a product of the talent he has on the roster? I mean, it's easy to play safe as death when you got, you know, you go back to that Tampa team and you got LeCavalier and you got Frederick Modine and St. Louis that are all scoring, you know, 30, 40 goals. That's a lot easier to do. But, I mean, this team, offensively, the cupboard's bare. I just think he had to suit this team to
right.
what they were capable of.
Right.
You know,
I mean,
he's got a couple of, there I said it, Brad Richards, here we go. You know, he's got a couple of guys that are 30, 40 goal scorers, then sure, you can loosen things up. But, you know, I just think he's fitting the system to the team he's got around him. I mean, he plays safe as death with this team. They might lose 5-1 every night.
I just thought, yeah, and you're right. He's got to play with the cards that are dealt him. I mean, he's only as good as the, you know, actually Chris Katsopoulos said that to me the year before. He's like, well, you know, I don't think he was comfortable with the players that he played, he was given that year. This year, I think he really embraced the team, and you're right. But there are times during a game where I think you kind of feel your way. And listen, I'm second-guessing an NHL coach here. What do I know? I'm just a schlub from Ronkonkoma. But it seems that during the game, you've got to say,
you're my schlub from Ronkonkoma.
Oh, thank you so much. Feel the love, people. And that there should be some in-game adjustments where I want to see Ranger defensemen pinching in more, joining the play. Because we saw that a lot. I mean, I don't want to go back and retread this whole thing, but there were so many times where the Ranger defensemen were like, you know, just not even participating in the offense where that deep cycle went, you know. So,
absolutely.
And but that's where last year, that's dead and gone, as they say. And yes, and the short answer is yes, I'm glad that John Tortorella is back, but you're right. If they have a poor showing next year or don't make the playoffs or get bounced in the first round, you know, how long is this going to be good enough for anything? I mean, the GM should be fired. Was this a decade of futility with this moron? And, you know.
Well, here's my take on that. And as far as the GM goes, at this point, I don't think, you know, look, the GM's not going anywhere anyway, so it's kind of a moot point. But at this point, I don't even think you could fire the GM unless you're firing the coach. Does that make sense? Because chances are, unless you're going to hire from within, and knowing the way this organization does things, that's probably what would happen, is they make Messier a GM or something like that. But if you go get a GM from the outside, let's say they do the unthinkable, you know, that GM, chances are he wants to hire his own coach. Now, next year, if it's complete and utter failure and it's a first-round exit or they miss the playoffs, God forbid, you know, then I think you might have to look at GM and coach. You know, this isn't working anymore, fellas. You know, 12 years of postseason futility is enough, and take your coach with you, and then, unfortunately, you got to start over. But at this point, I don't think you can fire the GM unless you're getting rid of the coach as well.
Right,
because I don't see any way in hell where if they don't have some modicum of success next year, then I don't see how you can allow the GM to hire another coach, because that would be what, his seventh, if you include himself, sixth, seventh.
Right.
Trottier, Lowe, Seider, Rennie, Tortorella, 5, 6, I don't know. I think I'm missing somebody in there. I think it would be his sixth if he got to choose another coach. So that's my take on that. But I think it was a good move to get him locked up and create this. Look, it creates a stable environment. We're the stable ones nowadays, more or less.
Jesus, the world is going to Next thing you know, they'll capture Bin Laden. Wait a minute! Oh, oh, oh! Thank God they got that son of a bitch. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. And you know, obviously, you know, look, you know, I was hoping we could mention it at some point tonight because, yeah, it's a hockey show, but, you know, it is New York related, and I don't think there's – I don't know if there's anyone who listens to this show who doesn't have some kind of connection to what happened on September 11th, but, you know, and it doesn't replace the you know, doesn't bring anybody's moms, dads, kids, grandmothers, grandfathers, friends back, but, you know, if it helps them sleep, maybe they slept a little better last night knowing that son of a bitch was dead, then it was definitely worth it. And God bless our military and those Navy SEALs, man. Those are tough bastards. They are.
Oh, yeah. Top notch, and they got courage that I could never muster, very few times, I mean, I'm a patriotic guy, but I'm not like Mr. like wave the flag, and, you know, I love my country. I'm just not like in that regard. I guess over the years I've gotten kind of cynical about the government, so I don't get on to, you know, a lot of stuff. But really, that was, when that happened, I was like, you know, I was proud, you know. I was just like, wow, this is great, you know. Just because, and I think for us who lived in a metropolitan area, I'm sure everybody felt that way. But just the fact that it was kind of like, you know, in our, you know, backyard, so to speak.
Right.
I think it even was more. Because, you know, I go to the city a lot, and, you know, it's just not there anymore. You know, it's just amazing, you know, what happened, and I'm glad they didn't take him alive, and I'm glad that, whatever. I'm just proud of the military, I'm proud to be an American.
And I'll just make one more comment on it, and then we'll move on. The Navy SEALs bust into the room, and that piece of garbage grabs a woman to use as a shield. What fucking courage those Al-Qaeda bastards have, don't they? What courage? Hide behind a woman. A courageous bunch they are.
All right. Enough of
right.
Politics.
That's not politics.
I know.
Saluting our military.
That's right. We're saluting. I'm sorry. I salute you.
All right. So now you pulled a clip of why don't you set this up for us a little bit? Since we're talking about Tortorella, we'll stay on Tortorella. Set the tone for us.
So Tortorella was on a radio program where they actually talk hockey once in a while with Michael Kay and Don LaGreca. And this is about a 2-minute clip where Torts talks about the media and how he feels about them. And I really liked it because it's like this show. He answered frankly. He answered straightforward. There was no, you know, no Sam Rose in there, you know, just asking some inane, innocuous question that nobody cares about. And Tortorella, you know. And I just before we go to that clip, have you noticed this Mike Keenan on this, was it Versus he's on, or NBC Versus, how animated he is and how he tells everything like it is? But on MSG, because he's part of that whole shill system, they can't say anything. Everybody's got the gag order on him.
Well, I'm telling you, they give him the Thorazine before they go on the air. He's dope.
Yeah.
He's like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
Nurse Ratchet comes around with little cups. Time for your medication,
yeah.
Mr. Keenan.
Medication time. Medication time. You're right, Jim. I think they are on Thorazine. Well,
Keenan's
got to
start hiding the pills under his tongue.
So here we go with Tortorella talking to Michael Kay and Don LaGreca.
Okay.
That go-to guy, or maybe that go-to offensive defenseman. Those are things that we have to start bringing into the conversation now, because we feel our foundation has gotten stronger and will get stronger with some other young kids coming to it.
Do you like the scrutiny that is New York, though?
Oh, it's a pain in the ass. There's no question about that. I mean, but that comes with it. I get protective of the team because I think sometimes things are talked about, and really some guys have no clue what they're talking about. I'll put it to you that way. And I like doing this with you. You ask me questions, then I can get my thoughts out as an organization speaking for the organization. So at least it's out there, and no one's speculating. Listen, there are some good people that cover the team. I disagree how they do it sometimes. They're good people. I understand their job. But, yeah, they're a pain in the ass.
But you do seem, at least to me, a little bit more patient with us than you were at the beginning. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, I would say so. And Don, when I think sometimes, I'm not too interested in talking about myself or really showing my full hand. I think when you come into a situation where it's a new coaching staff, I think you need to try to put your stamp on it a little bit. I didn't agree with it just being a comedy show before the game, you guys hanging out by a locker room. Don, you know that, true?
Right, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it was just ridiculous. Where you guys are hanging out there asking questions a half hour before the game. I think that's absurd. And I know I bothered a lot of people when I shut the doors early, and I just thought I need to make a stand to start fresh. And listen, I made mistakes along the way, and I still pay for them. But I want you to know that everything I do is for what's best for the hockey club.
So there you go. I mean, he almost
sounded like he was enjoying himself.
He was laughing.
I mean, you know, you gotta wonder. You know, again, he gets out from under the thumb. Eh, maybe they're giving him a dose of Thorstein too.
I mean, he looks like he wants to kill Sam Rosen when Sam asks him the question. You know, he's laughing it up. He's giggling. He's saying, you know, and I guess they didn't like it. You know, like you said, it was a comedy show. You know, and that is a little strange. How could you have reporters half hour before the game?
Yeah, that is
true. Sue Papagallo says he's bipolar.
You know,
maybe him
you know
and Captain Zeta Jones can hang out.
I'm dying to know who he's talking about when he says some of the guys
that
cover
the team. Talking about.
Some of the guys that cover the team don't know what they're talking
Larry
about.
Larry Brooks. Oh, come on.
I mean,
saying,
well,
you
but is that really who he's talking about? I mean, Larry Brooks, agree with him or don't agree with him, but, I mean, the guy, wouldn't you say he knows his hockey? You may not
know.
Always agree with him, but I don't
I
know.
Think Larry's out. Larry's out to generate heat. Larry wants the Ranger fan. He's like Fischler in a way. He'll say stupid things or be down on the team just to get heat. And get people to, you know, bite on what he's reading. Do I know if he's got a lot of hockey knowledge? I don't know. I mean, doesn't Larry Brooks have a feud going with Bob McKenzie on Twitter?
Does he?
Or is that Dippe? I think one of them has a feud that they like, I think it's Zipperhead, actually.
Huh.
He may mean Zipperhead. I don't know.
Maybe he means Steve. Well, I mean,
yeah.
Speaking of Larry Brooks, well, actually, where was I? What else did we want to talk about with Tortorella? Oh, well, he had to. But, yeah, I mean, first of all, go back to that radio interview. He sounded just really animated and. Maybe because he was just he's away from the spotlight and the microphone and the beat reporters, you know, double second guessing everything he does. But very relaxed. Certainly never ever looks that relaxed when he speaks to the press, you know, during the season. But I don't know. You know, the more I hear the stories about what's transpiring now with the team and 2 years. It was a really bad idea to bring him in the middle of the season like that. I just think it was bad for him. It was bad for the team. It was just a bad idea. They should have named an interim, and then just the day the season was over, whatever happened in the playoffs, then you announce John Tortorella is going to be the head coach of the team next year. Like they did, like basically the same thing they did with Keenan all those years ago. I mean, didn't they make that announcement pretty much 2 days after the 93 season was over?
Yeah.
I just think they didn't, you know, it was a bad fit. He didn't like the players. They didn't like him. He was under, it was just a bad situation. And it was just a mistake. They should have, you know, of course, hindsight's always 20/20, but, you know, I just think that was a, the more I hear and the more I see, I just think that was a bad idea.
Yep. I agree with you totally on that.
Now, further speaking of John Tortorella, since we're on a little Tortorella kick here, he was also, of course, after on breakup day with the media, he was asked about you know, some of the players on the team, mostly the older players, and the first one, of course, was Chris Drury, and you know, he was pretty candid in what he said. You have to look at, he said, you have to look at where does Drury fit. Drew's getting older. He's got a chronic knee problem. And he said, it's not my total decision, but I have my thoughts on it. So, you know, and he pretty much, he said same thing about Vinny Prospel. He didn't think Vinny Prospel was going to make a contribution this season. And he said that he looked really slow in the playoffs. And he said the same thing about Drury and that, you know, Drury just had nothing to really give in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And so what I took out of his comments was that I wouldn't expect to see Chris Drury, Vinny Prospel, or maybe even Sean Avery back with this team next season. Because he didn't exactly give Avery a ringing endorsement either. I'm trying to find what he said about Avery.
Well, he said about Avery that, you know, he had conversations with Avery and that, you know, him and Sean, despite what people think, have a good relationship. It's not a, you know, a tumultuous one. It's they understand each other, and he said that I play Sean when I think he's going good, and I scratch him when I don't think he's playing well. The question with Avery, Jim, and maybe you guys in the chat room could chime in this as well. Where is he going to go? I mean, where can you trade him? I think he's one of those guys that's untradeable. You know. So I think he's going to stay. And Sean said some interesting things, which I liked, but then again I got a little frustrated with. He said next year he's not going to be so diligent on not making turnovers, which that's good. Well, not good, but he was very conscious of making turnovers and taking bad penalties this year. So... And which means to me that the harness was kind of put on him either by Tortorella or himself, or maybe a little bit of both. But I think for Sean Avery to be the X factor, and you got to take the good with the bad with the guy, is in those playoffs, I think in a playoff series, he could have taken people off their game if he was just up level, you know, up the hijinks a little bit more. And I think it's more fun for us as fans. And I think it's more, it brings a factor to the Rangers that, you know, can be productive. But the bottom line is, unless you're going to send him down to the minors or trade him, I don't see anybody taking it. I mean, like maybe like, you know, the Islanders, they would take that. They would take him, you know. They love a sideshow over there. Chairman Wang's got that Chinese carnival. I mean, he'll wheel him in with a rickshaw. So,
and if I don't remember where I read this, but he's got like a limited no movement clause, or he can provide a list of 10 teams he won't be traded to, and there's a certain window. I think I forget where I read it.
Oh,
now,
okay.
Pull it up. But he's got like a month window in the beginning of the summer where he can't be traded, and then he can submit a list of 10 teams that he won't be traded to. So I don't know, but
well,
you know, HCP in the chat room brought up a good point. Avery says pretty much says the same crap every offseason.
Yes. You're right. He does kind of say the same thing. So, you know, we'll see. I don't mind Sean Avery, but like we said towards the close of the season, the novelty's kind of worn off. And you're right. Until you said it, he's kind of said this. I think he said this last year, too. But if you want to go down to the Bonnaroo Music Festival, I'm sure he'll be down there. We get to track him down.
Yeah.
You know, you can ask him yourself. As a matter of fact, I ran into a ranger Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, why don't you tell us all about that?
It was right around in my backyard, so to speak, in Center Reach, Long Island. They're having a benefit for a kid who's got some form of cancer, whose name is Matt. And I didn't know for sure if Gilroy was going to be there or not, or how long, or if it was going to be an official Gilroy thing, or I would have let everybody know. So I only let people know in the that are around me, because I didn't want people to drive 2 hours to meet Matt Gilroy and he's not there. Apparently, he's friends with the godfather of this kid, and so I got the word he was going to be there. And Eva and Claude were there with their son Peter. They came down, we hung out, and actually it was a good shindig, because it was like $25 for a couple or $25 for a family, and you got all the food. I mean, they had buffet food and all kinds of things going on. And he comes in, and he was only going to be there from 2 to 3 in the afternoon. And he comes in you saw the picture. Well, how would you describe, a dude clothing? He's just hanging out.
He was, I said to you when we spoke on the phone, he was dressed like a 26-year-old kid.
Yeah.
God, I can't believe I'm calling 26-year-olds kids. That's how old I've gotten. But that's how he looked. He looked like any other, mid-20s guy that you see at a bar or in a mall,
Right. Yeah, and it's true. Eva actually was, and you're right, Eva recognized him right away. So I don't know. Maybe she's got pictures next to her nightstand of but then I can't say that, because then my wife recognized him. And me and Claude, the guys, the hockey fans, were like, just like a regular guy. We didn't even recognize him. So,
but we can recognize hockey players by the way, by just watching them skate. You can watch on TV,
right,
and you don't even see the guy's number. You watch the guy's stride, and somehow that's him, right? Can you do that, right?
Right.
You just watch a guy on TV. You can't see his number or anything. You just can tell by the way he skates. It's him. See him in person out of uniform, you have no idea.
No. To me, he looked like just a guy from the fire department or something, just a kid hanging out, and I was like, oh. And so I went up to him, and guys, he's just a really humble, nice guy. And I know we've bagged on him. And listen, I am not changing my critique about the guy. It's just business, Matt. It's nothing personal. To me, Matt Gilroy, c'est la vie. I don't even really want him on the team. To me, I didn't see enough. He's an older player, whatever, 26, 27. I'm talking older, 26.
Did you ask him if he was growing into his body?
No. I want to say, what was going through your mind when you said that ridiculous comment? Because I said, I'm still growing into mine, as you can see. And Leon is getting larger.
Now I got one more question. Did he shake your hand and say, "Hi, I'm Matt Gilroy"?
He said, "You're the mouse." No, he didn't say that. He said, "No, he didn't go, "Hi, I'm Matt Gilroy." I said, "Hey, Matt, how are you?" And then he shook my hand, and then I said, "I just want to let you know that we Ranger fans, for the most part, and I did say most part, we're really proud of the way the team played this year. Every night you guys came to play." And he said to me, and he was really serious about this, that we should have went further. And he looked like he was still smarting from their ousting in the first round and the way they went out. So that to me showed me, okay, he might not be the greatest player, but he's surely one hell of a competitor. I mean, he's not, you know, he's not a slacker. You know, he's not a guy that's just let, you know, he can, you know.
Right.
And then I said to him, well, what about the contract? He goes, well, I'll know in a couple weeks what's going on, you know. I'm waiting for them. And then I also said, hey, that was a nice goal you got in game one. He's like, thanks, man. He's like, you know, he started to smile a little bit. And then I said, you know what? That John Rosasco is a dick. And he kind of smirked, and that was it. And then I said, oh, you mind if I pose a picture with you? And, you know, and then actually I asked him, you know, Matt, is it okay if I put my arm around you? Because, you know, man, I don't know, these guys might get a, you know. But he said, okay, yeah, sure. So he was really a nice, humble guy. I mean, for a guy that, and I started to think about this, because there weren't a lot of hockey fans there. A lot of people did not know who he was, Jim. Because, again, he's in street clothes, not like wearing his hockey Ranger jersey. The host right. had to keep reminding people who he was. It was like, this guy, Matt Gilroy here, won the Hobie Baker Award, which is equivalent to the Heisman Trophy for hockey. And there were periods of time where there was nobody over near him. And I was like, yeah, I really should go over there. But for a guy who's making, what is he making? He's making 1. More 7, than like...
5.
He's like the only millionaire in the room. I mean, let's face it. And he just looks like a normal kid. And then I got extremely jealous, and by that time I was going to berate him, but then he snuck out. No, I'm only kidding. No, he was a very nice kid, but I felt like saying, listen, Matty, you better take a big pay cut if you want to be on this team next year. You know, so... that's the scoop of my encounter with Matt Gilroy. I think there were 5 Ranger fans there, me and my wife and the Simos clan. So that was
very
that.
Nice. Very cool. Yeah. Was he signing stuff or?
He,
like if
yeah,
you just went up
signed.
To him, did you ask him to sign anything for you or did you just
yeah.
take a picture?
No, you know how I'm a hockey card collector. I had a couple hockey cards, and I gave one to Peter, Eva and Claude's son, and he signed them, and he signed some stuff that was given away in a silent auction, a helmet and a stick.
Oh, very
nice. They went for like $200 a pop, which was pretty good, I thought.
Yeah.
So, it was for a good cause. You know me.
Absolutely.
So I may try to get him on the show, but I don't know if that would be good or bad. Because for him, if he comes on this show, that might affect his contract.
Yeah. After he signs,
we'll try.
After he signs, and we'll have him like as a mystery guest, you know, so that nobody knows. And we'll, you know, we'll promote it as I don't know. We'll say we're having Gat Milroy on the show. We won't tell
right.
anybody.
They won't
this know. Way, you know, they'll never figure it out.
Well, I feel like those schmucks from MSG, to summer, they've taken the... I actually thought about it. We should wait till we know if you're going to the draft or not. Once you get credentialed, then after that, we can do it. You know?
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know what's going on with that yet.
Oh, boy.
Well, they threw the... They put out an email and said, you know, it's we're going to be submitting for credentials soon, and guys that haven't been, you know, are going to get first priority. And then, you know, it's in Minnesota, so they want the Minnesota guys to be there for the local interest. And then, you know, blah blah blah. And I said, look, I said this is probably more than likely my last one. I said I need to be there this year. I said if I can't be there this year, the terrorists win. So, we'll see.
I like that.
I haven't heard anything back on that yet. We'll
now,
see what happens.
Getting back to another one, you know, another defenseman here. You're reading about these injuries that were sustained. Although I thought the list would be a lot longer, but it looks like Girardi had surgery on his. He had a hernia. I mean, did this guy take enough? he's getting hit everywhere and. Fingers are hanging off, and
Dan Girardi is so tough he blocked a shot with his hernia.
Wow,
that's what I heard.
and then of course, which I knew was depressed. I had some surgery on his shoulder, which you could see it was taped up after every game.
Right.
You know, so two just warriors out there. I know we use that word a lot. We talk about Ryan Callahan, but just again, the Rangers. If they could find some offense, and I was going to talk about these UFAs out there and the whole Brad Richards thing, you surely got a team that will sacrifice anything to win. I mean, this says a lot, but they've got to somehow manage some offense. By the way, what's the score in that Philly-Boston game? Somebody update me. Come on! Not you, Jim. You're hosting a show. 2-2,
oh,
Mandar, thank you. All right, thank you. Mandar's right on it. Yeah.
He's all over it.
Yeah, he's
all right.
I missed you, man. I haven't seen you in a while. Yeah, okay.
You ready for the phones?
Yeah, I want to hear what people have to say. I missed you guys. Missed you.
All right. First up, waiting the longest, is the captain. Good evening and welcome to the program. Captain, how are you?
Boys, how are you guys doing tonight?
Doing good.
Doing good. Doing good.
I have a kind of a funny story that's extremely related to Blue Shirt Banter that I want to share with the group. I took off on Wednesday because I'm an idiot, and I went all the way from my home in South Jersey to the Rangers sale that they have at the end of the season. Like, you know, it's the end of the season,
yeah,
we saw the sale. Yeah. So I'm tweeting back and forth with MLeach352, which is Mike, who writes for the website.
Right.
And we're talking about Sather and the Volsky thing. So I end up there, and I'm looking at a bunch of T-shirts, and I'm just talking to this guy back and forth. And I end up plugging the website. I say, you should go to blueshirtbanter.com. It's a great website. You'd love it. And he says, oh, I work there. I'm like, really? Who are you? It's like, oh, I'm Mike. It's like, oh, I'm the captain. And it's just like we were tweeting back and forth, and we met over a bunch of T-shirts talking about Blue Shirt Banter. So,
wow.
Kind of a funny coincidence.
It's like,
that's cool.
Twitter's
so
gone
everything
wild.
So everything was 90% off or something?
Well, the stuff that was 90% off was Nick's jersey that said Nueva York. So that was probably the only thing that was 90% off. I mean, they had some good sales. I walked
out. You
didn't
by any chance get an extra one you could send me, would you? I don't think I'd love anything more than a Nueva New York Knickerbocker shirt.
I would have gotten more had I known, but I actually didn't even get one for me because it's I'm not, well. Anyway,
I want to say, what does Nueva mean?
New.
So doesn't that mean New New York?
No, it's Nueva York, so it's New York.
Nueva York.
Oh, there's no. Oh, all right, there's not.
Which is stupid to begin with to say Nueva York because that's like saying Buenos Morning, you know, or it's like two different languages.
That's what I'm saying.
There is a Spanish word, but it's Nueva York.
I'm saying.
It's New York. That's stupid.
It's Spanglish.
Yeah, whatever.
Ah.
So you got the last of those. What did they have Rangers stuff? What was left? A lot of Bugard jerseys? Ugh.
There was no Bugard jerseys, but they had the player jersey T-shirts. All the child-sized ones were $1, like literally any player they had. But as far as they had some Delzados. I'm sure Mandar was in line getting as many as he could.
They really had all the good stuff, huh?
Yeah. But, I mean, they had some jerseys for $100, which is pretty much regular price everywhere else, but it's on sale in New York.
Right.
There was some Averys I saw, which probably doesn't bode well for his future on the squad. But it was kind of fun. We were talking back and forth, and you know, Glenn Sather should absolutely run for political office, and I'll tell you why. Because the way that man makes catastrophic mistakes and then publicly fixes the mistakes and then gets the credit for it is amazing.
Sounds like a well, you're right.
Catastrophic mistakes.
Catastrophic mistake.
I like that. But catastrophic.
I mean,
complete catastrophe. My good friend Mike would say.
You posted my what I wrote about the Volsky thing. I mean, if that actually happens that way, which I would absolutely love to see, that's an absolute stroke of genius. I mean, he goes ahead and takes a $5 million cap hit in Roosevelt, and in the course of a few months, turns that into a $450,000 buyout, and all of a sudden you have cap space. It's absolutely genius.
Because we have some people that are here listening to the show that that don't read Blue Shirt Banner. Why don't you explain that to everybody?
Well, basically, the
slowly.
Idea is... slowly, yeah.
And I'm going to get out a pen. Hold on.
Per the CBA, whenever you buy players out, you pay two-thirds of the remaining money that's due over double the time. So if the man is owed two more years at $2 million, you pay two-thirds of that over 4 years. So it lessens your cap hit. But when a player is 25 or under, it's only one-third. So if Sather was at the point where he said, I'm going to buy out Michael Roosevelt, then he was going to owe Roosevelt two-thirds of $10 million over 4 years. By shipping Roosevelt to Phoenix for Volsky, who's 24, 25, then if they should buy out Volsky, which they absolutely will, then it's only a $450,000 buyout for this year and something like a little $600,000 next year. But at the end of the day, you turn someone who was a $5 million cap hit. All you had to do was just, if you bought him out, it cost you $3 million this year. Then all of a sudden, it's nothing. And that money that he was able to free up with that buyout allows for the buyout of Chris Drury, which is what they're obviously going to do. The Drury thing's like a bad breakup. You shouldn't be in a relationship just because you feel bad for the other person, because that's not good for anybody. And I don't think the Rangers want to be in this relationship anymore. So they're going to, you know, cut bait and move on. And you'll know what's going to happen before July 1st, because the Redden problem is back. Whatever 10% we get from the summer cap is going to be taken up by his contract. So if they want Richards, and everybody in the world seems to think that they do, they're going to cut ties with Drury and possibly Avery in the weeks leading up to free agency and not after, because they won't be able to actually have the space to bring in Richards. They couldn't even offer him a contract because they can't go more than 10% over the cap, which the 10% cushion they get comes back on with the Redden contract. So you'll know things pretty well before free agency starts.
Okay. I think I understand that. So you're saying the Avery, Drury, and Volsky situations will be settled before July 1st?
If they have any intention of bringing in anybody, yeah. Because they're going to sign their own guys. I mean, you'll probably see that start to happen once the season's over for everybody. I don't know if they can sign their own guys right now. They probably can. But you'll see them start doing that with the RFAs. But if they're going to go after Brad Richards, they need to create a lot of space now. They pretty much need to make about, you know, $7 to $8 million, depending on what they're going to do with it. Regardless of which side of the coin you're on, assuming they're going to do that, they need to create it. And the best way to create it is buy out Volsky and then buy out Drury with what you save. And by doing those two things together, you create $8 million of space, including the buyout money. You're telling me you wouldn't trade Drury and Volsky for Richards for this team? You probably would, even if you don't like Richards.
I would do that for Renee Richards. I don't know if you know who Renee Richards is, but...
I do. That's why I left.
Somebody Wikipedia that. Now, will there be enough cap room left to get Peter Peruka in here? Let's see if it's
I don't know. It depends what his demands are, and he's a 30-goal scorer, so, you know, I mean, it's not going to
compete. Yeah, I mean, you know, we have a love affair with Peter Peruka, some Ranger fans, so, and I know Jed Ortmeier's out there as well.
Eddie, do you think they'll re-sign Brian Berard?
I hope Brian McCabe never sees the light of day in Ranger uniform again.
Hey, talk about it. I mean, he was so bad in the playoffs. I mean, I think he forgot to shoot. He actually, you can tell now, the Rangers jersey has people forget how to shoot. We know that for sure now, because that's all he used to do in Florida. And he dons our colors, and all of a sudden he forgets how to shoot the puck. So it wasn't Roosevelt entirely. It's actually the jersey.
It may be the jersey. I'm surprised that the thing you went to at the Garden, which I was at the dreaded Atlanta game where they lost 3-0. I think it was the second-to-last home game of the season. Mm-hmm. And everything was 60% off. And I thought they were going to have a lot of that 85th anniversary stuff, 90% off when you went. But you didn't see much of that, or?
There was, you know what, there was a lot of this 85% off, 85th anniversary stuff, the jerseys. The heritage jerseys in adult sizes of players that are probably not going to be there next year. In the kid stuff, they had everything that you could possibly look for in the kid stuff. It was the 85th anniversary. I bought a Christmas ornament for $1. It was just $1. I figure I'm spending $30 in train fare. I may look at something for it since I'm up here.
Right.
because I'm an idiot, and
right.
I actually.
Well, you're not an idiot.
Yeah,
right.
I take.
Are you
I take
with
Dave
that?
Off.
Well, listen. I was thinking about going there, but then I was like, "What am I going to buy?" The 85th anniversary to me was kind of like, "Why 85? What's the significance of that?" I didn't buy
right.
into that whole thing. Plus, I'm cheap. I'm extremely cheap. But I
the
wanted
significance
to get back.
Is they can sell something, so it's significant.
That's true. And I went, talking about McCabe, you're talking about his shooting. I thought his defensive play was horrible. Oh, he was so slow. Ah.
Well,
he looked like
he is like 36.
I know. But,
it could be worse. We could be paying a 36-year-old defenseman $5 million a year for the next 6 years, like our neighbors to the south, well, to me, the west, which are playing right now.
Yeah, well, you know, Pronger's still, you know, is a lot better than Brian McKay, but you're right. I know when Pronger was signed for that amount of money in that many years, I was like, they're paying, year 2000 prices and terms for, an older version of the once great Chris Bryant. He's run into some injury problems. So, is there anybody out there, before we let you go, Captain, is there anybody out there other than Brad Richards you think the Rangers should bring in?
I don't think there's anybody out there to bring in, really. I mean, if you look at the free agent class, and it's really a function of the salary cap and the way it works. A lot of these guys aren't free agents. They get signed when they're younger to longer-term deals. They get the money earlier. They don't have to wait till their third contract to get money. I mean, Claude Giroux is going to be a good player for the Flyers. He's making $3.5 million starting next season, and I think in his third full year. So just the nature of the beast is you have to sign your guys earlier to make sure they don't get the free agency. And I looked at the list. I mean, Tim Connolly, I don't
– I'm going to get out at you. How about this, Billy Leno?
Well, now that's interesting. Actually, he's interesting, and depending on the money, I think Gagne is remotely interesting to play left wing, assuming they get Richards. Leno, to me, the problem with Leno is I have this thing in my mind that the Red Wings don't make mistakes. I can't imagine them making a mistake. So knowing that they traded him, I'm going to assume that Leno playing well is because he's on a team with a bunch of other forwards, and they have to score or they lose 7-6. So that's pretty much the way I think about Leno. I need to see him do it somewhere else before I believe he can actually do it. Because if you can name the guy Leno was traded for, you get a gold star.
All right. That's your thoughts on Billy Leno. I think they're erroneous, but I'm glad to
go. one last thing before I go. It's somewhat of a rumor, but I think the Flyers are going to open up a roulette wheel at that Philly casino they opened up, and you get to pick which goalie plays that night and spin the wheel. boys, I've taken up quite a bit of your time, so take care. Thank you for making my night something to do tonight, since you guys have been on for 9 days, but you guys need time, too.
Yeah, we love you.
Anytime, right. Captain. We'll talk to you next time.
Take care.
You too. Bye. I see in the chat room, they're talking about Jason Spezza,
right.
who could probably be had in a deal.
What's he making?
He's got a horrible contract. Horrible. $7 million cap hit for the next 4 seasons.
We have to trade to get
him. You'd have to make a trade, yeah, but you'd have to trade.
You'd
have to trade salary and young players.
What's so good about Jason Spezza? I mean, isn't he? I know he's got, he's a good point. He's a good offensive guy. I guess maybe that's the point. He's a good offensive guy.
I think that's the point.
But I always see the knock on him is he doesn't shoot enough. He's he's been Ottawa's. Right.
Well, I think the biggest knock on him is the injuries. He's only played 60 games the last 2 seasons, but he's almost a point per game player.
Oh, he'll heal up in a Ranger uniform. They usually do. Well, Gavrik's actually managed pretty well compared to what we were told.
Yeah.
Know what Russ Cohen and Adam Rader told us? this guy's been hurt. They ran down his injury.
His rap sheet. Yeah, I mean, there were people saying he'll never play more than 25 games a season for the Rangers. So his health is not the issue. His productivity is. But, I mean, yeah, Spezza, his numbers would fit in, you know, would fit in nicely. But that salary, that cap is just absurd.
Yeah,
I'll take Spezza if they take Drury. I'll take that too.
Yeah.
Jay read the chat room. I mean, come on. Who's going to – that would go beyond – I think that's beyond Sather's capabilities.
Uh-oh.
I mean, he's pulled some rabbits.
You know that picture I have of poor that would be a major one.
I mean, you're talking about making the Statue of Liberty disappear type stuff. All right, back to the phones we go. Who else we got here? 718-225. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Stan.
Stan. Back-to-back performances for Stan.
Oh, yeah.
How are you, Stan?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to say that somebody who's worked with the fire department for over a decade, yesterday was very good news.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There was a great picture somebody posted on Blue Shirt Banner today or last night of about 8 New York City firemen sitting on like a barricade at Times Square watching the ticker go by that said Osama bin Laden killed, and a couple of them just have like their arms in the air. Just a great picture, but yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that was from Ladder 4, which they're in the theater district, and they went over to Times Square, and there were like hundreds of people hanging out there, partying.
Yeah, and Stan, I want to say, you know, I know you know, they see this on the major shows, but, you know, just in our little lexicon, really, we're so thankful for the guys who fight fires in the New York City Fire Department, and fire departments throughout the nation, as well as the police. You know, a lot of times, sometimes people get down on them and say they whatever, but I know from, you know, speaking for me personally, I know Jim too, we just respect and, you know, really appreciate what you guys do for us.
I mean, no, I'm not with the fire department. I work with them. I'm not a fireman.
Okay. Okay.
No, I'm not crazy enough to run into buildings. I run out of them.
Yes.
Well,
but they're the best guys in the world. They really are. Because, like I said, I've known them for almost 12 years, and they're a great bunch of guys, all of them. Anyhow, let's talk some Ranger hockey. I think Glenn Sather should go over to Slovakia with a contract and a bag full of money and take Chris Kreider's passport and not let him back in to the country.
Well, I don't know if you saw that YouTube video of Kreider scoring off the faceoff. Did you see that one?
No.
He made this. He won the faceoff, and he kind of chipped the puck over the other team's blue line, went in on the goalie, and he scored. It was a really fantastic goal. It was like, you know. And I was like, I thought the same thing you did. I was like, we got to get this guy on the team. I mean,
well,
I know it's
he's on the world team now.
Right.
Yeah. And he scored a beautiful goal the other day. And he's a college kid playing against pros. I mean, this guy, he's not going to Hartford. He's going right on their left wing, right out of training camp as soon as he gets here.
Yeah, and you were talking about Sather. Sather is really high on him. He's Sather's boy. They say, you know, Sather called him a monster. He thinks he's a monster, got monster talent. And I think they're going to try their hardest to convince him to kind of recant he said he's going to stay in college. If he stays in college, that's fine too. We actually had Chris Kreider on the show when he won the junior championships 2 years ago, right before it. And he's a very studious, articulate guy, and he, you know, loves to study Russian. I mean, he's really into the academics. So I could see maybe why he'll stay, but he's also, he's also a beast of hockey player. Let's face it, that's what we're really concerned about. I mean, I'm glad that he's a quality young guy, but if this guy could put the biscuit in the basket, let's get him over here. Let's get him to play. But, you know, so it'll be interesting to see where he goes. And you're right. I wish they could get him here real fast.
Yeah, because, I mean, we know that they need guys who can score, and this guy, you know, he's gonna score at some point. It just, you know, is he gonna score 30 a year, 40 a year, 50 a year? That's what it comes down to.
And by the way, happy birthday to young Mr. Kreider, who just turned 20 over the weekend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they mentioned that on the broadcast today.
Yeah.
I know that. So where are those the World Championships? Is that the World Championships, right?
Yes.
Where's that being broadcast? I haven't seen it.
It's on Versus.
Oh, on Versus. That's what?
Yeah, in fact, it was on 10 in the morning. And Wednesday, they play Sweden at 2 o'clock.
I'm going to have to follow that.
Yeah. So, it's really a B team. I mean, Steppen and McDonough are on the team. Steppen's the highest scoring player on their team at 21 goals. So you see, it's not like the Olympic team. The only Olympian on there is Jack Johnson, the King defenseman.
He's a good player. Yeah, you're right.
I don't even know.
Right. Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, most of the real good players are involved in the playoffs still, or, you know, after a long season, didn't really want to commit to that. You know, they have to play in the Olympics last year, too. So,
in fact, Kreider was the player of the game against Austria.
So how are they doing, the Team USA there?
Well, they beat Austria and they beat Norway, you know. So it's
was
the
Zuccarello? Oh, he's hurt. I was wondering if Zuccarello was on the Norway team. Yeah. So, all right, that's good news. I'm with Chris Kreider this year or next year. It's all good in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
So that's the way I feel about that.
Yes, it is.
All right. All right, Stan, anything else for us tonight?
That's it. Just wanted to say that.
All right, thanks for calling in.
All right. Take care,
Mike.
Take care, Stan. There we go. Whoops. Hold on. Sorry. We'll switch board issue here.
During the show, I'm going to throw out names of UFAs, and you tell me, you, Jim, yourself, as well as the chat room, what you think. All right, how did the Rangers go older? I like this guy. I really like this guy. He's real old, though. People will say, it depends money-wise, too, but I think this guy would take a cut. You think he would take a cut?
Sergei Gonchar.
Timu Solani.
How old is he? 38, 39?
40.
Oh, he's 40. Oh, see that? I even missed 2 years. I don't know, man.
Am I reaching?
He still had, 75 points? What do you have, 75, 80 points this year? 90 points, something like that? I know he's still productive, but I don't know, man.
He's 40.
You're going to get him for 1 year? You don't want him for any longer than that. You know?
This is a filler plug. And okay. All right, I'll throw you another name. I got most likely to become a Ranger.
But
Milan Hejduk.
Hedge Duck.
He'll be like the Frolov of next year.
you are guaranteeing that he's going to be a Ranger?
I'm not guaranteeing. I'm just swamming a little bit. I'm using the crystal ball.
All right. He's another guy. He's 35. 56
Some
points,
people are
71 games.
Against the Hejduk. People are not liking that one.
Are they people actually threatening to turn the show off?
All right, no more Hejduk. They're like, God, no, missed the knee surgery. But I mean, Solani will look good in a Ranger uniform, though. I like him. He's a class guy. But it depends. He'd have to take a pay cut. But he'd make him $4 million a year. I mean, at 40.
Well,
so
look,
anyway.
If you get him to take the same $3 million they offered Frolov last year, is he a better $3 million spent than Frolov was?
I'm saying, I'm going on the record. I'm going on the record saying if they could get Timo Solani for $3 million, he'd be much better than Frolov. Somebody in the chat room said he led the Ducks in scoring in the playoffs. No,
how many opportunities do you get to sign a Winnipeg Jet unless they trade for Shane Doan?
Right. That's right. Yeah. Well, guess what, DB?
Right.
Hey,
that would work out. That, you know, we bring the whole thing, the whole Winnipeg Jet thing, full circle. You know, we could celebrate the Winnipeg Jet history. Anders Hedberg, Ulf Nilsson, Teemu Selänne. We're at both ends of the Winnipeg Jet history.
I love the Finnish Flash. Why not?
I'm not saying anything bad about him. I'm just saying we could bring the whole intertwining of the Jets Rangers history full circle.
DB's poo-pooing it, but guess what, DB?
He poo-pooed.
Your favorite's available again this year. Garnett Exelby. Yeah. You get him. All right. I'm done with my cruising the UFA for any taking wild goose chase down the UFA route.
Getting off your GM soapbox.
But I do have one dark horse that I would like to see the Rangers take a chance on that nobody's heard of. This guy, TJ Wyman. Why? The day that he gets signed and the Rangers don't sign him, I am going to go ballistic. JT Wyman. He's from Montreal. I think this guy played overseas in Russia last year. I think he's got some offense. I want JT Wyman, goddammit. Okay. Anyway, that concludes my prognostications.
I've never even heard of this guy you're talking about. Now I've got to read about him.
Because he's a dark horse. I follow hockey. I follow everything. Jane Wyman.
He was drafted in looks like he was drafted in 2007, the same year as Ryan McDonough, Max Pacioretty, PK Subban. It's quite a draft for the Canadians.
What was his stats? What?
Hold on.
He's from Dartmouth.
Oh, forget it.
At the home of you, Jessamine.
Forget it.
I'm looking at his stats. They're not as good as I thought they were. All right, JT Wyman's off the board for me. He is from Minnesota, Edina, Minnesota. They love those American Minnesota guys, the Rangers. All right, enough with this ludicrousness. What's up next?
All right. Chandler, good evening and welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. I hope you enjoyed your time off. How's it going?
Good. How are you? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm sorry I was late. I was caught up in a Yankee game, and I lost track of time. So
that's okay. That's okay.
I got in time to hear you talking about Tortorella, and I mean, I know they extended him, but I just can't see Tortorella doing anything with this team. You know, he averaged 38 wins a year in Tampa Bay. I know everybody, it sounds like he did great job. He averaged 38 wins a year in Tampa Bay. That ain't that great. And that was with outstanding offensive talent. Okay, he averaged 38 wins a year. You know, he's not willing to change his system to fit the players he has, man. That's why when you said Selänne would be great on the Rangers, but not with Tortorella as the coach. Tortorella would be screaming at him, you're not back-checking. And he'd bench him. So...
I think we talked about this at the top, is that I think his coaching style now is suited towards the talent he has.
I'm hoping that he's learned that it's not his system that's winning, it's the players, you know, along with the system. But I'm just not sure, because we have some guys that can play offense, and unless he lets these guys actually play offense, you know, it doesn't matter who we get. God forbid we get Brad Richards. I don't want Brad Richards. I don't want any part of Brad Richards. Not just because of the concussions, but because of the fact that the guy's not going to do well here. And everybody's going to start screaming, oh, we're giving him $80 billion. He's not scoring. You know, Chris Drury never scored goals before he got to the Rangers. Why did everybody think because we gave him $7 million he's going to start scoring goals? Brad Richards is not a goal scorer. He's an assist guy. If you look at his career stats, he racks up a lot of assists. We don't have anybody for him to give the puck to. So why the hell should we sign Brad Richards? He's not going to score goals. Everybody keeps screaming, Brad Richards, Brad Richards, Brad Richards. Brad Richards is not a goal scorer. He's an assist machine.
He's also a power play guy, though.
Yeah, he is.
Goal scorer.
if we don't have any, okay, so right, he scores goals in a power play and no other time, that's kind of, you know,
I'm not saying that.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying he's not a good player, but he's not a good fit for us, especially not the money the guy's going to ask for. I mean, he's easily going to look for $7 million a year. Come on. He's going to look for $7 million a year.
So, if he looks at NHL CapGeek and sees what $7 million gets you on the Rangers, then, yeah, he's going to ask for at least $7 million.
Exactly. So, I mean, I don't want riches, and I don't really...
He might ask everybody else for $7 and ask the Rangers for $12.
But, and he might get $12 because that's what Sabin will do. Oh, you want more than that? Sure, no problem. You know. I don't know.
My question to you, Chandler, is this. What type of play do you think the Rangers need that could even be gotten?
I don't think there's anybody out there in this free agent offseason. I don't think there's anybody out there. Now, I know who I'd like to see them actually get, if they could get him in a trade, especially since Minnesota's just going through a coaching change, this kid named Shepard, who's a center. The Wild are down on him because he's not a goal scorer. But he's young. He'll get you about 25 goals a game, and I think he would actually fit in better with the defensive system. I think he'd work better with Gabrick and some of the other guys. I'd like to see them get a younger, bigger center is what I'd like to see them do. Maybe somebody that's going towards the end of a contract we can get that'll be restricted, that we can tender for a couple of years at an affordable cost is what I'd actually like to see him do, a guy like that. Not really, I mean, I'm not, it doesn't have to be him, but that's what I'd actually like to see them go get is a player like that, a young, big center that we can get from a team that's going through a coaching change where the organization is down on. Because those are the guys who usually do well here.
That's James Shepard. He's played 3 seasons. So he had 2 goals in 64 games, so he's a big kid. Well, not that. He's 6'2", 210. I really don't know.
He came up in Lemaire's system, and Lemaire was down on him, and it shot the kid's confidence to all hell. So they've been trying to build it. But like I said, they're really down on him, so you might be able to get him on the cheap. If you get him on the cheap and it doesn't work out, he's young. He hasn't really cost you any money. But I don't see any free agents out there, honestly, other than Solani, like you mentioned, that are worth spending any money on. You know,
How do you feel about Simone Gagné?
You know, I've never been a Gagné fan. I don't know why. I've never been a Gagné fan. The guy can score, but he doesn't do a damn. I want somebody that's going to hit every once in a while, and he's like Gabrick to me. He skates around the outside of the fray. He never really gets involved. You know, and then when he does get hit, he gets hurt. Gagné's been hurt damn near every year. Every year he's played, he's been hurt. And, I mean, come on. You know, we got enough guys that are going to spend enough time on a disabled list.
James Shepard went to Dartmouth.
God, what is these guys with Dartmouth?
I didn't realize he was to Dartmouth. Are you kidding? I don't know now. I didn't realize he was to Dartmouth. Unbelievable. One of the things I keep seeing, I guess, is people screaming about this guy's a bust and that guy's a bust. And we're talking about 20-year-olds, 21-year-olds, who haven't had a chance to even learn how to play the game of hockey, in which we might trade them because they're a bust. Really? I mean, do you watch hockey at all? Nobody. How many players, honest to God, come in and are good every season that when they first start? Maybe a handful?
Right.
Everybody else, it takes them a couple of years. So can we stop trying to trade all of our young players because they haven't scored 100 goals, they got 100 assists in their first 2 seasons? You know, Michael Delzato's going to be fine. Give him a minute. You know, 2 years ago, everybody wanted Trubisky and Callahan traded. How would that have worked out right about now?
Not very well. I mean, you know, the Rangers, they certainly fit a role. But like you said... You know, we do need goal scoring, and there's just nothing out there. I mean, I'm looking over this back and forth. It's just how is Billy Lane?
What it's going to come down to is he's going to have to find guys, trading partners, and he's going to have to if he wants to make moves for first line talent, even second line talent. He's going to have to move some young players.
Well, I mean, I think we've got some in the minors. I think Grachev is going to be fine. You know, I really do. I think Grachev is going to be fine.
I hope so.
If we can get Kreider, that would be
great. You just put a smile on Eddie's face.
You know, I do. I think Grachev is going to be fine. I think he took that thing of people saying that he was Jager light, and I think he bought into the hype, and he started trying to play a game that wasn't his. You know, he's not Jager. He's Grachev. And I think he's finally learning how to play his game and not the game everybody told him that he should be playing. You know, I mean, he's a young kid. They read the press clippings, you know, and he started trying to be somebody he wasn't. You know, and I think that you know, if we give him a shot, and like I said, I mean, who the hell is out there really to go give this money to? Who are you going to give this money to? Are you going to give it to Brad Richards so he can be concussed? Be another Mark Savard, never be the same player after his third, fourth, fifth concussion? You know, Mark Savard hasn't been the same player since what, the last concussion has been the same player. How much money is Boston paying him to do nothing now? And it's not that he physically can't because of the concussions. I don't want to give Brad Richards that money. You know, it sucks to say don't sign him, but, you know, and I hate to keep saying give the kids a shot, you know, but let's give the kids a shot.
Well, let me ask you and Jim this. What are the odds that the Rangers do not go after anybody and are actually, you know, a couple million under the cap? Do you think that will ever happen in our lifetime?
Absolutely not.
Not with the current regime.
No, not with Sather. Sather's got, listen, man, it's like me with the video games. I have to trade people when I play the video games. I have to trade people. Okay, you can give me every good player. I'm trading all of them because I can. You know, and it's like Sather has the video game. He's trading people because he can. He's signing people because he can. Oh, I can sign someone for $7 million? Okay, I will. But you don't have to. Yes, but I can, so I will. And I think that's where he is. He's going to sign. I think he's going to sign Richards. I honestly do. And I think Richards is going to play about 30 games, and that'll be it for the season. That's what I think. I think Richards, if we sign him, I think he'll play at the most 30 games, and he'll be hurt the rest of the season.
Oh, boy.
This will go back to the days of when the Rangers were the retirement home for over-the-hill players. You remember those days where you needed your last big contract, you came to the Rangers, you signed.
Maybe like 2 years ago.
Yeah, you bent down, you said, oh, my back, and you just got a check for the rest of your life. I think that's where we're going with.
Oh, my back. So you're thinking Solani, Doug Waite.
No.
Who else we got here?
Doug Waite, Bill Garrett.
You know, Jason Arnott, you know.
Anybody over 40, jump to the Rangers.
That's it. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not so down on the Richards thing. I think it'll improve the power play. I think it'll help Gaborik. But again, you make a good point. It's the terms and the money. If it's something ridiculous, I don't want him. You know, and I'll take a chance on the concussions. You know, and that, you know, it's not like he's been concussed like four. You know, it's not like a Lindros situation here. Rangers need to address something, and I think even from a PR standpoint, if the Rangers stand pat, I don't know, fans. You know, I'll put this in the chat room. How many of you guys are going to be happy if the Rangers make no mistakes? They make no signings. There could be some Freudian slip there. They don't make any signings. You know, and maybe just bring in Hey Duke.
Not him. Now if we go to Colorado, listen. If we're going to trade with Colorado, then yes, Stastny is the name. You know, that's the name, but they're right. The price is too high for that. But, I mean, come on. Milan Hayduk is a bum. All right, the guy's a bum. He got that big contract, and he's been a bum. The guy's a bum. All right, I'm sorry.
No, I'm laughing because every time I mention that guy's name, somebody goes, oh, God, no. What are we doing?
The only reason Colorado would deal Stastny is because he's been ripping the organization. That's the only reason they would ever deal him. He's been ripping the organization since they made that trade midseason. Remember the trade that they made? He's been ripping the organization since. So I think that's the only way he gets traded, if he just keeps ripping the organization. Other than that, they'd be stupid to give him up. So
I agree. All right, Chandler, listen, we got to get to some other calls, but as always, we appreciate you calling in. Great job.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
You too. We'll
Take
talk
care.
To you soon. Bye.
All right.
All right. Let's go to Florida. 561-212. You're on Blue Shirt Band Radio. Who's this?
Hey, it's Norwegian Hobbit Wizard.
Hello. The Hobbit Wizard is in the house.
Yeah. I've been wondering. I know this would never happen in a million years, but trading up in the draft, because I like to get Landeskog and Nugent Hopkins.
I have no idea who these guys are, so you got to let me know what they're about.
Nugent Hopkins is a kid from Canada who's saying, no one has this vision since Gretzky. This kid's amazing. He's going first overall. And Edmonton has the first pick, and they're looking for D-men. So they might pick him. They might not. And Colorado's also looking for D-men also. And then this kid Landeskog, he's probably going to go third overall to the Panthers. He is Sweden, went to the OHL, and this kid's amazing too.
I'm looking up Nugent Hopkins. He played in the Western Hockey League, 69
yeah.
games, 31 goals, 75 assists. That's
yeah.
pretty, I can see why he's also won the Western Hockey League Rookie of the Year, and he's projected to go first, huh?
Yeah, but the thing is, with Edmonton, they're really low on D, so they might not get him. Then get Larson. He's a kid from Sweden, really big, sweet D-man that everyone is looking to get right now.
Well, if you're talking getting a first rounder, then you're talking about who?
Yeah.
What defenseman are you talking about? I mean, you're talking about McDonough, you're talking about Girardi, you're talking about Stahl. I mean, who are we talking? Yeah, who are you talking about? Sorry, I didn't hear you.
Delzato.
Nah, you're not getting Delzato for that.
You're not getting, it's not happening.
Yeah.
You
and then
get Delzato
also,
for Edmonton's third round pick.
Yeah, and then also the Panthers, they have this really good prospect that's probably going to come up in the NHL right next year. He's Quentin Howden. They picked him first round last year, 25th pick. But this year in the WHL, he played 60 games. He had 40 goals and 39 assists.
I'm looking him up because, well, the Panthers, I could see make hoodwinking because they don't know anything about that. You know who I like on the Panthers? That guy, Dadonoff.
Yeah.
He's a little bit bigger. He's a big skill player, that kid.
Yeah, I have Panther season tickets, and everyone's going crazy about him. Right now, the thing is with Talon is that you probably won't be able to rip him off. That's the thing.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that Dale Talon was there now. Yeah,
yeah.
Sound like the old game. Well, I mean, you know, we can dream, we can hope, we can aspire that somebody, for a guy who's really, you have to look at Delzato even before he suited up for the Rangers. You know, he was a guy that was left off all the national teams because, words out that the guy has he's a little bit of an egomaniac. I mean, there's no way that I could put it. He's more of a me guy than a team guy. So him maybe being sent down and coming off an injury. I mean, that's certainly not going to happen. But we can dream. I mean, say they're he's bamboozled some other people down the line. But in the draft, I don't think the Rangers will make a move on draft day at all. But that's my opinion. What the hell do I know?
I don't think so either. All right, Hobbit, we got to take some other calls. Thanks for calling.
Right,
we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, Brad.
Anytime. All right, I'm going to bring in Mandar. Good evening, Mandar. How are you?
Good evening, gentlemen. How are things?
Doing well.
Pretty good. I haven't talked. I don't think we've talked since the Rangers were eliminated. Is that true?
That is true. That is true. You know, you go into hibernation after that, and at least the playoff beard didn't get that long.
No, it didn't. No, it didn't. Just quick thoughts on it. Do you think the Game 4 double overtime loss was just too insurmountable for them to come back in?
It's a good question, although I don't know. I think that they definitely carried that over to the fifth game. But if you really think about it, all those games were close. But in score alone, I mean, anybody who watched those, would you have five games, 15 plus periods, plus three overtime periods, and 18 periods of hockey? The Rangers outplayed the Caps three, maybe? I mean, it was that lopsided. And I'm like, really, just I'm loving what Tampa Bay is doing to them now, because, like you guys said, this all of a sudden, this Neubert guy thinking that he, you know, he's all world. And, you know, I hate to say it about my beloved team, but you're not playing the Rangers again on their offense. You know, you're not playing a team that can dominate a game strictly on the offensive side. But I'll tell you what. Have you guys watched any of that on Versus? If they mention this freaking 1-3-1 with the Tampa Bay, it's like their new buzzword. 1-3-1. Not only do they play it in the neutral zone, they play it in the defensive zone, killing a penalty. And look, they're playing the 1-3-1 on the power play. It's amazing. The 1-3-1. Oh, shut up.
So you're saying the Frasers would have played the 1-3-1, they probably won the series?
Yeah, I'm surprised sometimes the Tortorella can count to three.
No.
I got to admit, I softened on him a little bit this year because he didn't say as often this year he didn't know what to do because of the effort they gave out night in and night out. But it's obvious he didn't have a game plan really against the Caps. You know, you decided you were going to just grind Staal and Girardi to death. And again, kind of curious watching Staal in the playoffs. I think he had an off playoffs. And if I remember right, his playoff career hasn't been exactly the most stellar. Just an observation. I mean, I remember, what was it against the Devils?
The thing when you said that the first thing I thought of is how many times that Ovechkin did get him once, but how many times did we see him one-on-one with Ovechkin and win the battle? I mean, he definitely won that one-on-one battle.
Yeah, but do you think at times he overplays Ovechkin and to the point where, you know, you're leaving some guys alone? I mean, yeah, he focuses on Ovechkin, and sure, you know, you need to have a body on him, but I think at times he plays him so much one-on-one that you got guys, you know, cruising the crease and doing other things other than watching Ovechkin. Hey, look, and I don't think Ovechkin was the difference in that series. I think collectively it was a difference. It was a series where the Rangers could not afford to make a mistake, not even one. I mean, I'm sorry. Anybody who wants to bail him out on that mistake in overtime in the first game is kidding themselves. Kidding themselves. I don't want to hear that Drury made, you know, might have left the zone early. No. You flipped the puck right. You gave it right away. I mean, and there was a lot of plays in that Washington series where I thought that he was lacking a bit. And I'm a big Staal supporter. I think that in the playoffs that I've seen him play in his career, it's been a little bit less of a level as he has during the year. Maybe because by that point he's been played 30 minutes into the ground every night. Maybe it's because we keep struggling to get in that you have to play him that much. But I think his game dropped off. I didn't think Girardi's did, though. I was kind of surprised.
See, I'm on the opposite. I thought, although Girardi, I mean, you know, he's courage personified, but I think a couple times he was out of position. Now, maybe him because Staal was out of position. I mean, I respect your opinion. I consider you a hockey deity. I will take it under advisement. I will watch it. But I cannot agree at this juncture. I want to ask you this. John Tortorella said there were two players on the Rangers that were their best players in the playoffs. You had to guess who he thought were the best players on the front line.
The two best players he thought were on the front. I would say Boyle. He probably thought was one of them. No,
yeah.
Boyle was one of them.
And
Fedotenko.
Fedotenko. Those were the two guys that he said were their best players.
Boyle got snake bit a lot of times in the second half of the year. People are going to point out that his scoring went down, but I think his chances were there. But again, it might be a situation where, who took Brian Boyle seriously league sees, wait a minute, this guy's really improved, let's clamp down. And, you know, second half of the season, he was being watched a little bit more than he might have been in the first half of the year where, you know, it was unexpected for him to be that kind of a player. So, it got tougher. I don't think his play dropped off as much as they were paying more attention to him. And again, I think getting more ice time than he's ever had in his career might have been something that also kind of slowed him down a bit.
Where do you stand on Fedotenko being re-signed for next year?
It would have to be one of the last moves they make. It's almost a last resort kind of a thing. And that's not a knock on him as a player. It's basically what minutes do you want him to take away from? What's he going to bring more than anybody else you have that can do the same job? I'm not against not signing another third liner. I like Fedotenko. The guy I thought did a great job. He can hold his head up high. But what can he do that any other third liner we could get could do? Or if everybody is on this, you know, tremendous youth kick, we got to bring in nobody here older than 22, then they're going to take time away from somebody else getting that ice time. So I see Fedotenko being a great fit on a team that, you know, needs that kind of a player for the playoffs, maybe a Blackhawks type of a team, you know, that are a couple of players away from getting them over a hump. But he's not a player that's going to make a team like the Rangers, who are trying to get to another level, and that level is not cup contender. That level is always in the mix. Because right now the Rangers are on basically a cusp of making the playoffs every year. You said it perfectly before. If the Rangers make no changes, where do you expect them to be next year? Are we magically going to get better? Yeah, I know everybody gets another year of experience, but are we really going to get better? Are we going to be a team that doesn't struggle to make the playoffs? To where? What's our goal with not making any changes? Sixth place in the conference? How much improvement do we need from what we have now, making no changes, that moves us up into a perennial contender? We love our young players to death, and I know why, because we've been starved for many years. You've heard me say this time and time again. We love our players our young guys so much because we've never had something like that we overvalue everything we have. Overvalue. I love Callahan. Callahan's always going to be a 24, 25 goal scorer. That's what he is. Doesn't make him a bad player. Makes him the heart and soul of this team. Makes him a third line, possibly second line heart and soul player on this team. He has so many intangibles that makes him valuable, but his goal scoring isn't. And they lack that presence. I heard we have no use. Why do we want to pay a lot of money for a first line center? Because we're gun shy now. And everybody's saying, look what we paid for Drury. Look what we paid, you know, for Gomez. And they were busts. Yeah, after a season and a half or so, Gomez was a bust, and Drury wasn't your number one center. Maybe would have been 5 years ago, but wasn't when we got him. But Brad Richards is a number one center. You can say, oh, I'm not going to give him 5 years, $7.5 million. Okay, so what's your solution? Where's the number one center come from? It's not important. You don't need a playmaker. A number one center is your playmaker, is your quarterback in the offensive zone, is a guy that you go out there looking for to provide some offensive ability. I don't care if he's not going to be the best offensive player in the world. We were pretty successful with Michael Nylander. Don't think the Swedish Gretzky was that great in his own zone, but he sure pretty much played well with Mr. Jager. So to say that you're not, oh, we're not going to spend $7 million, we've been burned before, well, yeah, you've been burned before. But does that mean that you're not going to fill a need? You know, Brad Richards fills a need. People don't want, oh, I don't want Gagne. Brad Richards is going to play 30 games. I like that one. Or Gagne's hurt too much. All right.
Well, then, you got the Ranger fantastic emotionally, and I understand.
And that's fine.
That's why I disagreed, too, though. I mean, you know, Chandler.
You know, you need
that.
A number one center. Don't tell – I'm sorry. Not one player on this team is of number one center caliber right now. I love Derek Stepan. But Derek Stepan, just from what I saw, and granted it was an 80-game, you know, view, and I'm sure he's going to get better with more time because I think the kid is a fine player. But – you can tell. If you've watched this game long enough, you can tell who has it, so to speak, you know? You just know this guy has got the number one center written all over him, right? I mean, I can't define it, but you know it when you see it. And if anybody tells me that they see anybody on this Ranger roster right now that fits the number one center profile and wants a number one center, he doesn't have to be a 40-goal scorer. He doesn't even have to be a 35-goal scorer. But this is your playmaker. This is your center that you go to in every offensive situation. He's the guy that can take faceoffs. He's the guy that every other team has to plan for. He's your threat. He's the guy that when you put him on with your sniper, if it's Marion Gaborik or whoever, makes that a dynamic duo that you have to watch out for every game. The Rangers don't have one like that. I don't think they have one right now coming up. Kreider maybe. I don't know. I haven't seen enough of him to render an opinion on that, but I know what I've seen so far from this team, and I don't see a prototypical number one center, nobody that any other team is going to game plan around. You put Richards and Gaborik together, does that open up space for your second line, your other guys who you want to score goals? I think it does. That's what a number one.
I think it puts everybody in their proper order, more in their proper order.
Yes.
You know, like you said, you know, Callahan is a second line player on a really good team, or a third line player.
Exactly. Exactly. So we elevate them to be so important because that's the best we have. And again, nothing against these guys. These guys are what they are. But if you're going to say, you know, we're missing that 80-point score. I'm just going to say 80 points. So you need a guy that gets maybe 30 goals and 50 assists. There's not one player on the Rangers that can do that right now. Not one. I mean, I'm hoping Gaborik could be that way, but I think I'm kind of amending what I thought about Gaborik. From last year, I thought Gaborik didn't need a center. He just needed to be Gaborik. Now, either he... It's obvious he wasn't hurt, I guess, towards the end of this year because he's playing in the World Championships. But his, you know, his performance went down startlingly bad that it almost leads you to believe he probably does need somebody to make him better. And he's not even old, right? He's not, what is he, 28, Gaborik?
Yeah, 28, yes. 29.
Right?
Wow, this is quite a run you've gone on. This has been almost like a filibuster, man. I miss this. I'm getting information. I'm getting opinion. I'm getting goose pimples.
This is the great Mandar.
I like how he summed that up. This is the great Mandar. So what else? You're going to continue? You were going to say something else. I hope I didn't interrupt you.
No. Well, you know, and that's it. You know, it's interesting. You always say in hockey, if you were a GM, and you say to yourself, you know, how do you build a team? You build a team from the goalie out, right? So you need your solid goaltender, you need your solid defenseman, and then you need your forwards. Because you could always, you know, if you have no defense, no amount of offense is going to be worth it. So you need that goaltending and defense, all right? I think we have it. We'd like to have some more offense on defense. Don't know where that's going to come from. Hopefully somewhere along the road that'll develop. But now it's time to develop the forwards. It's time. And if you don't have it in your own system, and this draft, I'm sorry about Spicoli's wanting to trade up in a draft that has been universally recognized as a pretty weak draft. There's no game breaker in this draft, no forward game breaker that we need anyway. So you got to get it somewhere else. Make the whole team better.
All right. So you're on record as saying, go after Brad Richards, go after him hard, and get him no matter what it takes.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, you're not going to pay. You're going to pay for a 90-point score. That's what he is. Anybody who says, oh, we're not going to pay $7 million for that, would you not think of what the guy is? The guy is a 90-point score. You're not going to pay $7 million for a 90-point score. Then put your head back in the sand and enjoy scraping for eighth place again, and hopefully one of our players has a career that gets us up to seventh.
Okay. You're on record. I just want to make sure you're on record so I can play this back when it happens.
That's fine. Hey, my track record's been pretty good this year.
Fairly good. Yes, it's been good. You've done well. You've always done well, and you're always a fun and entertaining and informational caller, as well as co-host.
Well,
go.
I'll fade to black now, Jim. I know you got other people on hold and wanting to speak, so.
You want to stay on?
Sure, I'll stay on.
Okay.
This just in, Stu Grimson has been hired by the Rangers to head their power play. Stu Grimson will now be part of the team that's going to work on the Rangers' power play. So,
Stu Grimson.
The Grim Reaper.
Sorry. Okay. And before I forget, before the end of the show, I want to say hello to one of our biggest fans, Mr. Newman, who apparently had to spend some time in the hospital today. I don't know exactly. He's got fluid in his chest or something going on, but I just got a text from Stacy that he'll be okay. He will live. And he's home, and that he's very sorry he can't call. She said to tell he's very sorry that he can't call in. It's been a long day. That's okay. Give us a call next week or whatever, and just get better, John. We'll talk to you soon.
Yes. Get well soon, brother.
All right. Zach, what's going on?
Mandar, that was one of the greatest calls I've ever heard from you. You got to teach me the way. I'm willing to be the young grasshopper
to you. You can't teach what he does. Come on.
It's amazing how much I don't have that much knowledge. I envy you, Mandar.
It's like asking Sinatra, teach me to sing like you do.
But you definitely touch on some really good points. And same thing with The Hobbit beforehand. I have a question from The Hobbit in regards to the draft, in regards to if we're going to trade up. Do we have any collateral to give up?
Draft picks.
What? Just more draft picks?
I don't know.
I don't know. Who do we have that you would want to see? I don't know. I mean, most of our guys are developing.
Pavel Valentenko for a first-round draft pick. How about that?
The guys that we'd want to trade away are going to be UFA, so they're going to be meaningless.
Right. We don't really have a lot in our, you know, our cash, our cachet, so to speak.
When I say we stay where we are. And in regards to Fedotenko, you know, he did play pretty well in the playoffs. I don't know. I'm saying we'll let him go to arbitration, and then he'll take whatever money they offer him for about a year, and then we'll see how he does.
Yeah, let me ask you this: as a Ranger fan, I mean, you went to a lot of games this year.
Yeah.
How do you think the Ranger fans will take it if the Rangers don't get Brad Richards, or maybe they don't really go after him that hard and just stay pat? Do you think Ranger fans are going to accept that?
It's, you know, everybody's going to go, like, the same direction, or I don't know what people are going to think. It's if we get him and we give him a high contract, everybody's going to be pissed. If we don't get him, everybody's going to be pissed. So I don't know what the consensus is among Rangers fans.
What about you?
Anymore.
What's your opinion?
You know, everybody's thinking that if we get Brad Richards, he's going to solve Gabrick's problem. I think Gabrick needs to solve his own problem. He needs to mesh well with this, with a real centerman. And was it Mandar? You mentioned Stepan. When the two of them played together, I don't think Gabrick played that well. In fact, when he was paired up with Possible, it was Possible that did well, not Gabrick.
But why did Possible flourish it? Because if you look at Stepan, he's always in shooting position. He's always in a position around the net, or always looking to be a sniper. Maybe that's what he's going to be. That's probably why the two of them didn't mesh. Their games are probably real similar.
I don't know. What I've observed about Gabrick is there's a law of Gabrick that states that every other year he has a good season. So he did not have a good season this year, which means he can have a good season next year. That's
okay.
What I think.
Okay. Like Brett Saberhagen or Howard Johnson. All right, Zach, anything else?
I forgot, so go Rangers. No, I can't think of it anymore.
All right, well, thanks for calling
Zach.
Nice to hear your voice, man.
It's always good to talk to you guys. We'll talk to you later. I'll tune in next week to listen to the show.
Okay, cool.
All right.
All right.
Talk to you later. Bye. Next week at 8:30 Eastern Time. The great Monty Hall will join us, former New York Rangers broadcaster. And of course, probably he might be better known as the host of Let's Make a Deal, but I think it's going to be fun.
Now, have we researched it to him? Like, what years did he announce for the Rangers? What's the deal?
59 and 60.
59 and 60. Wow.
But I believe he did some other hockey broadcasting as well. So, we'll see.
Maybe we should have a contest right now in the chat room. What wise-ass or ridiculous question would you want me to ask Monty Hall next week? And I will do it. As long as it's in fairly good taste.
Yeah. I mean, look, it would be, you know, like I've said all along, it's going to be ridiculous to have the man on and expect to get an hour and a half or 2 hours of Ranger-related material. We're going to have to ask him about Let's Make a Deal. And, of course, you know, we make so many Odd Couple references, and for God's sakes, we've got a listener and best contributor named Mandar. I mean, we've got to ask him about being on the Odd Couple.
Sure, yeah, definitely.
So, you know, Don't if you're in the chat room next week, don't expect me to ask Monty Hall whether I think the Rangers are going to get Brad Richards or not.
Right.
Or if Kreider should stay in school.
I'm going to be like, yeah, I think I want to go with Ali Demandar. Was Carol Merrill a D cup? Come on. Did you ever tap that?
Yeah.
You know.
I was showing my son when he was here some of the videos from Let's Make a Deal that are on YouTube. And there was this one woman who this was later in the game, and she knew there was a car behind the door he was talking about. And then he was offering her the deal. And he said, you know, it was the old, you want behind the door or you want the cash in my pocket? And he says, well, what if it's $1,000? What if it's $11? And he's going up and up and up. And this woman is literally having a nervous breakdown. I need the car. I need the money. I need the car. I need the money. I don't know what to do. And she's just like screaming at him. It was so, I mean, it was one of the original reality shows, I think, you know, just to find out how ridiculous people would be for money, you know?
Yeah. I have some other things that I can't say that I was going to ask him. I have the urge to say these things, and they have to come out, but I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it.
Like the night you had Carpinello on, and you said, oh, they're making fun of Brashear in the chat room. Somebody just called him Scatman Crothers.
Well, okay, I'm going to say it, and it's not racially derisive. It's just a racial observation.
Okay.
Like, I always notice on that show that the white people would always be willing to take the gamble because they probably were like in some kind of higher socioeconomic thing, or maybe they were just stupid. But the black people who came from more humble beginnings or a humble economic thing, they would take the money and run. You know, it would be like, you know, LaQuanda.
I would have taken the money.
They would have, I'm taking that money, honey. No.
I would have been stamping my foot like Oscar. 500. 600. Take the money, Felix. Take the money.
But then, you know, Pete from, Burbank, he'd be like, oh, I'll risk it. And then he would wind up with Eskimo pies and, you know. LaQuanda had the prize.
A lifetime supply of canned squid.
Yeah. Wow, wow. So, I don't know. That's just my observation. Listen, I'm an older gentleman. I don't know how to be politically correct. I don't know if that was politically correct, but Nipsey Russ.
You say you're an older gentleman, and you are half the age of next week's guest. I'm an older gentleman. He's twice your age.
Oh, my God. I can guarantee you I'm not living to 90 years old, man. Yeah, I can tell you.
Wait, you don't think we'll still be doing
What?
You don't think we'll still be doing the show?
I'd like to get Match Game, but Ray Burns dead.
Brett Summers dead.
DNR is dead. I mean, we could get Dickie Dawson. He's still alive, Richard Dawson. But... I don't think he has fond memories of that show.
I'm not speaking to Ricky Dawson.
You're not speaking to Ricky Dawson?
Mandar got it. Mandar got it.
Patty Deutsch, what a non-talent. It's for a voice.
I'm not speaking to Alan Ludden.
You know who was the biggest ass on that show? That Gary Berghoff. What a douche. He was. Like, I loved him as Radar, but he was a moron when, in real life. And now I think he's like born-again Christian who collects birds.
Paints his dogs or something. All right. Believe it or not, we still have phone calls.
Oh, sorry about that, guys.
That's okay. We just got off the... Hey, look, it's summer.
Next
it's all
Gary Berghoff.
This is going to happen from time to time. We can't, you know, we don't have a. It's not like last year where every week we could just complain how they got to get rid of Wade Redden's contract. They got to cut him. They, you know, we can't do that every. This year is a little different. Anyway, 347-894. Is this Costa?
No, it's Rock, boys.
How are
you?
It's Rock. I always get your numbers confused. They're very similar. Good. But anyway, what's going on, buddy?
Good. I'm really sorry. It's what the tail end of the show. I had a little bit of family obligation, but just quickly, I didn't call in. I didn't call in last week. I wanted to actually give myself some time to kind of really reflect on the season instead of calling in and being all doom and gloom. I really wanted to give myself some time to reflect on the Rangers season. And, you know, I'm like I said, I'm disappointed. And forgive me if I'm touching on stuff you guys already touched on. But you got to be proud of the team this season. They kind of went a little bit above and beyond our expectations. And they made it into the playoffs. They hopefully got a lot of valuable learning experience. You know, I mean, it's tough, but hopefully the team realizes their needs. And Mandar made a perfect example. And you know me, I've been on the Brad Richards bandwagon for 2 years.
Wow.
Like I told you a while ago, I called one of the first times I ever called your show, and I said the Rangers should get Brad Richards 2 years ago. So, you know, I just think he fills a void from not only from a number one center, but he also plays the point on the power play. And you know, that he fills two needs.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm in for whatever they're willing to give him within reason. Obviously, he asks for $10 million or $8 million or whatever. If it's only something not astronomical. If he gets Gabrick's contract, I'm all right with that. You know, I think he, like I said, I think he just fills a need, and I'm looking forward to this offseason because I mean the writing's on the wall at this point. We all know what the Rangers need, but what they need is something that is something very hard to come by. I mean, the only reason Gabrick was on the open market 2 years ago was because he was coming off of an extremely injured, rattled season. You know, and with Richards, let's just pray that this ownership situation doesn't get rectified by then, because if he comes off the board, I don't know which direction they go. You know, I'm hearing Paul Stastny. I like Paul Stastny as a player. I just don't know if he's the right number one guy for this team. He's a great player. He's young. I don't know if I like him as much as Richards. Guys on the team that are winners. I need guys that have won cups. We need guys that have gone through the rigors of winning, and we need to teach these guys what it means or what the grind is for going to a cup final. And this team lacks that.
Jim, should I ask him about the guy that has been getting a lot of reaction? What do you think about the Rangers getting Milan Hayduk?
I'd take Hayduk as a contingent for Richards, but in addition to Richards. But I'm not saying
really?
I want him by any stretch. 35 years old. He's played in the Western Conference most of his career. He's never played the grind of the East. I don't know. I don't love him.
Well,
the reason I asked
you that, Rock, is because most people have been like, "Oh God, no." That's
I think we've been there, done that. I mean, if they got Hayduk for a stretch run, if they needed a player to kind of put him over the top, someone with a little bit of experience, maybe at the trade deadline, maybe from that perspective, I would go that route, but not as a player to put them over the top to someone to replace Richards, or and instead of Richards, I should say.
Hang on, I just want to jump in here real quick before we go off the air. Thank you guys for listening. Eddie, you want to come back and do this Thursday night?
Yeah, why not?
All right, how about 8:30 on Thursday night? We'll do an hour and a half, okay? We'll see you guys then. And thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks for coming out. Really appreciate it. It's great.
Good night. All right, and I brought DB Maven in for the podcast. So I'm sorry, Rob. Go ahead. I just wanted
to
check in.
Like I said, I mean, hey, Duke, he's 35 years old. I don't know how much he has left in the tank. We've been. This is what I don't want the Rangers to do. I don't want another. I don't want another guy. I don't want another Frolov. I don't want another Chris Higgins. I don't want another Kotalik. I don't want another Zverev. I don't want any more question mark hockey players that you're just begging, that you're praying they're going to score 20 goals. I'd rather
no
than
more
nothing.
Reclamation projects.
Thank you. Thank you. The only guy, believe it or not, and I've said that, and I've been on record to say this, the only guy that's actually come to New York with the, that was on the downside and actually did better was Roosevelt his first 2 years. He was actually a reclamation project. Pittsburgh dumped him because he had bad knees or whatever issues he had, and he's the only one that I could think of that came to New York and actually did better since the lockout. We're not going to go back that far. Every other guy the Rangers have brought in as a reclamation project has fallen on their face. Don't waste your time. Don't waste the money. Don't waste the cap space. If you can't get a top three forward, don't bother. Go with the same team then and hope that there's somebody at the trade deadline that someone's looking to dump or you know, I don't know. I can't think of or someone becomes available. But the problem is, like you said, the commodities aren't there. So every team's going to want Stefan, Chris Kreider. They're going to want the Rangers' top-end prospects, and the Rangers obviously aren't going to go that route. So if it's Richards, I don't know who – if they don't get Richards, I don't know who else they're going to get because you know they're not going to pony up to get somebody else.
Well, I don't know about that because I think if history has shown us anything with Glenn Seder, that if he can't get Richards, that money that's been allocated for Richards is going to be spent.
But
and I don't know where
it's spent on,
go.
Eddie. I don't want it. Like you said, we don't want any more reclamation projects here. What is the point of bringing in an Alexander Frolov at $3 million to hope that the guy scores 25 goals? I mean, we've seen it. I mean, not only in hockey, and not only in hockey, but in most sports, when guys are on the down, when 29 other teams are passing up on a guy, there's usually a reason why. Now
you know that. I know that. DB Maven knows that. Mandar knows. We all know that. But
Bob
Dole
knows it.
That's the question. Right. I mean, you know, I could see then, all right, now we're going after Ville Leino. He's a playoff guy, you know, or, you know, and then spending. You know, I just, like, I asked the question before. Can you see the Rangers going into the season with $4 million under the cap? They're going to spend every cent. I mean, that's just the way it works.
Maybe they give a guy a one-year deal, and I could definitely see that happening. But the question is who? Is you going to get Jason Arnott? I mean, he's probably the next best guy. I mean, Jason Arnott would be great on this team as a second-line center if you need a playoff guy. I mean, he's shown how well he's played for Washington this playoff series. But, I mean, like I said, and this is the same problem we've been dealing with, let's be honest, since the lockout. I mean, Jagr was a one-man wrecking crew the year coming out of lockout. You got lightning in a bottle with Peter Pruka, but that was really it. I mean, they got really minimal out of everybody else, and you saw that when they played Buffalo. And like
okay.
I said, the 2 years they did the best was when they had Jagr and Shanahan, and even though Shanahan was at the tail end of his career, he still could blast the puck. I mean, he was slow as molasses, but he could still shoot
right.
the puck.
And he was a good character guy too.
Yes,
I think
you need that, and I think you're lacking not only on offensive firepower, but I also think and I think you're also lacking on veteran leadership, not only on the front end but on the back end.
I agree. That's why I want to see them go after Brad Richards. I'm not going to poo-poo. I've said that twice tonight. But I'm not going to be like, you know how it turns out when we get all these. You know, Chandler was the one that called earlier and said that, you know, we all know what's going to happen once we get Brad Richards. But we really don't. I mean, I know we all have been through it time and time again, but sometimes we're surprised. I mean, I really didn't think Marion Gaborik would have ever scored 40 goals as a Ranger in his first season. I thought he was going to be plagued by injuries. So sometimes you do get surprised. And like you said, it's the only fit, but the only problem is it's a fit for a lot of teams. A lot of people looking at this guy.
The thing that they're I'm sorry, Eddie.
No, go ahead.
The reason you can't get gun-shy is Chris Drury was coming off a career season. I mean, he was coming off a career year. He was playing up in a very good Buffalo team. He was surrounded by a lot of talented guys. He was coming off a career year. Gomez, the same thing. Both coming off career years. And you see a lot of these guys that leave that Devil system, and they kind of fall apart for the most part. Most of them. I shouldn't say everybody. So you're talking about a guy that single-handedly resurrected that Dallas franchise. And you saw this season, when he was in the lineup, that team fell apart. He not only – if you look at their roster is very comparable to the Rangers' roster. If anything, I think the Rangers' roster might even be a little bit better. I mean, we don't have a Louis Erickson. I mean, Louis Erickson would probably be the second-best player on the Rangers. You know,
or a James Neal, which they had for most of the
James
year.
Neal, but James Neal to me is similar to Dubinsky. I mean, you can compare the two. But Richard single-handedly made every guy in his line better. You can't say that about Drury, and you can't say that about Gomez. He's a totally different player. Totally different player. That's just my opinion. I mean, I could be wrong.
Oh, all right, right.
But I believe he's a different type of player. Again, when they brought in Drury, I wanted him, and I'll be the first one to admit it. I wanted him, but I was basing it off his season with Buffalo. If you look back at his career, he's never scored 30. I think he scored 30 goals maybe one other time.
He did it once, yeah.
Yeah. And Gomez had 1 year where he had big year, which was, I think, was the year maybe the year of the lockout. Might have been his best year. Everybody had a great year this year. Jonathan Chicho scored 54 goals. So, I mean, you're basing it on that one season. To me, Richards is a different animal. He's a different type of player. He's played in the East. He's just a different animal, just a different type of player completely.
Boston and Philly going to overtime?
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Well, DB Maven, what do you stand on this UFA?
We lost DB.
We lost him.
Yeah, he had to go. Well, he lost his connection, I think.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm done.
I'm hot and cold on Brad Richards, but we can talk about it more on Thursday. One day I want him, next day I don't, and then I want him, and then I don't.
Well, Jimmy, let me ask you a question. What scares you, the concussions?
Funny.
Part of it, you know, it's a culmination of everything. You know, part of it's the money, part of it's the concussions, part of it's the we got to get Brad Richards to help Marion Gaborik out.
Bullshit. I don't agree with that at all. But okay.
Because my argument is, well, what if he doesn't? What do we do if Marion Gaborik scores 20 goals again next year? Then we're on the hook $15 million for two aging players or two guys in their 30s who are underproducing, whatever you want to call it. So it's a lot of things. I don't know. But then tomorrow I can wake up and go, boy, we got to have Brad Richards. I sure hope they get Brad Richards. I'm very hot and cold on it. So, I think if they sign him, I'll be excited. And if they don't, I'll be okay with it, too. Because, you know, they're going to have some competition for Richards. I hear L.A. wants him, and L.A. could probably afford to pay him a little more. So, who knows?
The question is, does Richards want to play in L.A.? Because I heard a quote, and I don't know where I heard it from, and I'm going to try to dig up and get it for Thursday, that Richards said he'd actually be willing to take less money so he wouldn't hinder a team from making other moves.
They all say that.
Well, granted, true. And
they all
say
that. Not about the money, Rock.
Well, Gretzky's the only one that came to New York for less money.
Right.
You know, like you said, I don't think he wants to play in L.A. His family lives in Tampa Bay. They're off-season in Tampa Bay. I think he wants to come back to the East. If he's not going to stay in Dallas, he's coming back to the East. The team I was always fearful of was Tampa Bay. But they have Stamkos' contract coming up. They still got Luke Cavalier for like 10 more years or however long he's there. He's the only other team that maybe he'd go back there for less money, especially if they go on a run this year. That's the only team that I was fearful of in the running for the Rangers, and I don't think he wants to go to Toronto. That was the other team.
To be fair, Gretzky had to go to New York to take the less money. His wife owed money to a bookie in St. Louis.
That's possible. You're right. I never thought of that.
And they were on the lam.
That's funny.
All right.
Let me just end one on a good note, on a funny note. Tom Galitti of the Bergen Record, I sent him a tweet. He was quoting the entire time on Twitter about the Capitals. So I wrote to him and I said, are you covering the Capitals? Are you a Capitals fan? Are you covering the Capitals? He goes, yeah, I'm covering the Capitals for the playoff rounds. I said to him, you're actually covering an outside of New York team? Is that how far the Devils have stooped, or the Jersey has stooped, that you have to actually cover the opposite team that the Rangers are playing?
Andrew Gross was he covers the Rangers, so they sent Gelati or whatever his name is, Gelato, to cover the Capitals during
that.
Well,
who cares? If you live in Jersey, do you really care what the Washington Capitals players and coaches are thinking?
No.
Do you even care?
No.
I just thought that was ridiculous.
It's kind of strange.
It's so anti-Ranger, it's ridiculous.
The Daily News or the Post, you know, they didn't have anybody covering the Capitals.
Yeah, I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Fellas, I'm going to go eat
some
dinner.
I'll see you guys Thursday.
Catch you Thursday night.
Have a good night, guys.
Good night, all.
Good night.